then your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Merry Christmas again, everybody, from your friends here, your family here at TPC, James Edwards and Keith Alexander. The work we do is very important, and we thank those of you who have supported us for these many years, and we thank people like Trey Garrison who give us the opportunity to present such messages of importance, and please check out his book. What we're going to be doing this hour is our annual Year in Review. Another year is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. 2021 is just a couple of days from becoming the year that was, and then our work will begin anew with the dawn of 2022. But what we're going to do this hour is first take a look at some of the biggest political stories in a general sense that occurred this year. And then, of course, later this hour, we're going to zero in on some of the guests we had and some of our favorite and most memorable shows and some of the things we were involved with outside of the studio as well. But Brad Griffin had a nice assessment of 2021 over there at OccidentalDescent.com, and he talked about Joe Biden's rapid decline. This is something we've covered certainly quite a bit. Brad writes, Joe Biden swept into the White House in January. The Democrats were returned to power with a razor-thin majority in Congress, but in retrospect, they were able to do the vaccine rollout, the COVID relief bill, and an infrastructure bill, which is what we expected them to do. And Brad mentioned that on podcast he was involved with earlier this year. Since then, though, Joe Manchin has pretty much hamstrung the entire Democratic agenda. Among other things, illegal immigration, crime, gas prices, and inflation have been worse than expected. The withdrawal from Afghanistan was poorly executed. COVID's stubborn persistence has been worse than expected. The woke-lash arrived on schedule, and it was predictable that Biden's honeymoon would fade over the summer and that his legislative agenda would go nowhere due to his margins in the House and the Senate, and that there would be a thermostatic backlash from the right. But one of the dominant trends of the year, Keith, has been the rapid erosion of Biden's coalition, which has all but collapsed in the polls. The Democrats are wearing cement shoes as we go into the new year.
Well, it's obvious that the Democrats have stepped in it, I guess would be a good way to put it. They allowed people to see the wolf that they had in sheep's clothing, and people are alarmed at just how pernicious wokeism is. Wokeism is this extreme liberalism represented by things like the 1619 Project, critical race theory, which, as William Lind in an article that you had earlier this week published on our blog roll, is just a variant of critical theory, you know, the old critical theory that we always analyzed in terms of cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism, liberalism has morphed into cultural Marxism now in America and in the Western world, in Europe and the Anglosphere. And it is driving our nations down. It's, you know, we know where it's coming from. We know who's behind it. We know what their purpose is. It's not a benevolent purpose. It's a malevolent purpose. And apparently the Democrats have decided to jettison the white part of their base altogether. It happened first under Obama. They basically had no outreach and nothing to offer the old white working class union workers that used to be the mainstays of the Democratic Party back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. They lost the Southern contingent, as my father and others said. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me, and old Democrats became George Wallace supporters in the 60s. But now it's we're reaching endgame. It's terminal. You know, anybody that wants to try to convince people that have common sense anywhere that transgenderism is a good development and that it needs to be fostered and that we need to have set-asides and affirmative action for transgendered people, that is, like the old movie from the 60s said, a bridge too far. And apparently nobody in the Democratic Party, with the exception of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, has the guts to tell the emperor he has no clothes. Joe Biden goes along, gets along, and as a result, he alienates the American people to such an extent that I think he's now lower in approval ratings than even Trump at his lowest. And that was, of course, Biden has the media totally on his side, and Trump had them totally against him. So that's quite an accomplishment for Joe Biden, James.
Well, it is, Keith. And another thing, as Brad wrote, and this was something that we have covered time and time again on our coverage and commentary here at TPC this year, by far the single most important story of the year, as we do this year annual assessment here, is that normies have become much more radicalized. It was normies who stormed the Capitol. It was middle-class people in their 40s who did that. A combination of the George Floyd riots and Trump losing the 2020 election pushed them over the edge. For better or worse, these people have come a long way over the course of the past 2 years. And in the span of just a year, just this year we're in right now that we're wrapping up, the term anti-white, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, the Great Replacement and secession went mainstream. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a huge development. White anxiety has gone off the charts in focus groups and in polls. Whites have become far more defensive than was the case in even the most recent past. Whites have also become much more critical of corporate power and the free market and more willing to use state power to accomplish their ends. There has been a blurring between these newly radicalized normies and the organized movement and what used to be the mainstream. Now, it isn't clear what the alt-right or the dissident right means anymore, whether it's nationalism and populism or white identity or critiques of liberalism and libertarianism or protectionism, isolationism, immigration restrictions, or a strong rejection of political correctness, or a little bit of all of it. But you can increasingly find all of that to varying degrees at the center of the GOP now. This is absolutely fascinating.
This is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, telling us that it was anti-white.
And that's important, and we talked about that. However, we're not where we need to be yet, of course, but we are moving in a general direction that is exciting. Explicit and candid conversations of race, realism, and the Jewish question and the white ethnostate are, of course, still taboo, but we've come a long way in 12 months. We'll see where we continue to go. You could turn on your television right now, though, and you'll hear Tucker Carlson speaking about whites explicitly, using the term, as you mentioned, Keith, anti-white. That wasn't the case a year ago. Thomas Edsel recently compared this development to slow-boiling water. The target audience has become more receptive to our messaging. The barriers which used to separate the fringe from the mainstream have thawed, and our views are becoming more prevalent. We'll talk more about this with Keith Alexander when we come back. TPC's annual Year in Review show. We're talking about broader trends and, of course, the year that was here on TPC itself. It's all coming up this hour. Pastor Brett McEntee will share with us the story of the birth of Jesus Christ in the third.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
And
we can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will lead, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
It's truly an honor to be able to do what we do here, and that's, of course, we've leaned on you, ladies and gentlemen, to make it possible, but and we couldn't do it without you, but I'm proud of the mix we've got here as we blend our commentary on political issues with the issues of race and ethnopolitics, all seen through the lens of the Christian faith, which brings everything into focus, and, of course, our Southern patrimony, just everything that makes TPC what TPC is. I'm excited to be able to have been a part of it and continue to be a part of it with you in this partnership that we have. But really, really nice to be with you on Christmas night. I'll just say that. We're going to get into some of the highlights and some of the most memorable moments on the air with you this year in just a moment, but very quickly to wrap up the general trends of 2021 that we've covered so often on the show over the course of the past 12 months. We were mentioning just before the last break, the barriers which used to separate the fringe from the mainstream have thawed as our views have become more prevalent. Saying that the union ought to be dissolved was an exotic view in the early 2000s. But now, most people in white and rural and small-town America wouldn't be surprised by secession and even expect Civil War II to happen. Similarly, the idea that white people are under attack and need to stand up for themselves is much more widely accepted than was the case 5 years ago or even a year or two ago. This has been a big year What we hope will be a great awakening for our people. I mean, we've been talking about even in France, where you have Eric Zemmour, this presidential candidate, talking in explicit terms, the likes of which Donald Trump and any politician here in America has never done. And you have people like that over there who are doing it. And we have a lot of friends over there that are members of Parliament. And we'll talk about that in a minute, too.
Well, our ideas are becoming the big thing, okay, the next big thing in politics. And even the mainstream, like New York Times, Washington Post, the alphabet soup of channels, have to talk about it. Why? Because the left is talking about it. We owe a debt of gratitude to Ibram El Kendi, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, Charles Blow at the New York Times, Tim Wise, people like this, because they keep bringing these toxic subjects up to the point that normal white Americans can no longer rest secure in the idea that they can be a good person and escape punishment. They now know that these people in the constituency of the left, of the Democratic Party, are not appropriate objects of charity and people that need to be helped. No, what they are the enemy. That's what's come across.
Well, this will be a perfect segue, I think, Keith, into now looking back on the year that was for us here on the radio. It all started off, of course, the first Saturday of the year back in January. I believe that, I'll tell you. I mean, it was right before January 6th. It may have even been January the 6th. What was the first January of the year? Here we go. Come on, calendar. So our first show of the year was on January the 2nd. So obviously that was just a couple of days before January the 6th. But on that first show of the year, we interviewed number one, Sasha Rossmuller from Germany. TPC had just been featured in a magazine article that appeared on newsstands in Germany at the tail end of December of 2020 and in January of 2021. It was still out there. And we had the author of that piece, Sasha Rossmuller, on. He's a member of the NPD party in Germany, also associated with Europa Terra Nostra, another organization that we have solidified ties with this year. But also on that first show of this year for TPC was Lauren Witzke. Now, we're talking, of course, just a moment ago about how a lot of our ideas have been popularized. And make no mistake about it, TPC has played a role in that popularization. Don't take our word for it. Just read the opinions of our enemies about the importance of our work here. But Lauren Witzke was, of course, the Republican nominee for United States Senate out of Delaware, and she had just she won the Republican primary, a contested primary. She lost in the general election in November of 2020, and just a few weeks after that was appearing with us on our first show of this year. And she was running on a platform that is very much at home here. So now you have actually people that are saying these things. They're not where they need to be, but things are trending in that direction. That was a very high-profile Republican candidate that got a lot of news because she was running on these things. And she, of course, to Trey Garrison in the first hour, was running largely on the opioid crisis as it affected white people. That was because it had affected her in her past, if you remember.
Well, the Republican stalwarts, the Republican mainstream, want to always take you back to capitalism and preserving the rights of the elite. But I think that the base is no longer willing to be seduced into doing that. They know that they have serious problems. They're not on the top of the world anymore. In fact, what Trey Garrison was telling us is that not only is upward social mobility being denied normal white people in today's America, even maintaining the status quo is no longer an option. They are going to have decline. They and their children will have declining financial and economic prospects throughout their lives unless something has changed quickly. And I think more and more people are white people, rural white Americans, urban white Americans, whatever, realize that that's the case and that, you know, it's time to get serious about advocating for our own side. What we've always said is that if white people had the same sense of racial solidarity and the same freedom to lobby on their own behalf that blacks, Jews, Hispanics, homosexuals, other groups in society do, we would be an unstoppable juggernaut. Well, the left is pushing the normal mainstream American white into that camp. They are now becoming white advocates. So my hat's off to Ibram El Kendi, Charles Blow, and all of the other left-wing lunatics that are basically driving the agenda for the Democratic Party today.
One thing that I've been pleased with this year was how we were able to balance mainstay guests with new guests. And we had a nice synthesis of that this year that was very much an objective of mine going into this year. We'll continue to do that next year as well. Obviously, mainstays, I'm talking about people who appear not just every year, but many times per year, or at least a handful of times per year. We only have, you know, what, 52 shows a year. But Kevin McDonald, Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, Tim Murdoch, Jason Kuna, Brad Griffin, Ramsey Paul, obviously Sam Bushman, David Duke, Virginia Abernathy. You know, these are people that come on multiple times per year. And then we have people who come on annually, like Jesse Lee Peterson or Greg Johnson and people like that. David Cole has been with us the last couple of years. So you have those that are certainly been part of our fabric for a long, long time. And I'm not trying to leave out anybody who appeared. I'm rattling these off at the top of my head.
We're also getting the more current guys like Jason Kuna and Tim Murdoch and people like that.
Well, we got the old lions, and we've got some of the people
Bucks.
I did write down the people who made first-time appearances with us this year, and that includes Dan Erickson, longtime friend, first-time guest, but he is the head of the Europa Terra Nostra organization that I think is just one of the most fantastic in Europe doing work for our people. Also in that March Around the World series, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but Remy Tremblay, journalist, and Peter Rushton from the UK, Remy Tremblay from French Canada, Mark Collett, Charles Balsman was a first-time guest this year. From Russia Insider. He called in from Russia, former DEA agent.
And he was great, by the way. We have so many. All the new people are getting in are not disappointing. They really are the real McCoy.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then some of the special shows and series and behind-the-scenes things and off-the-air things that we were involved with in this, the year that nearly was, that soon will be, deposited into history. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Department of Justice announced Taylor Energy, a Louisiana-based company, will pay $43 million in civil penalties and damages and $432 million to a cleanup trust fund over a spill in the Gulf of Mexico that has been ongoing since 2004. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice responded Wednesday to attacks on his state and its senior senator, Democrat Joe Manchin. Justice, a Republican who switched from Democrat affiliation in 2017, said this behavior is not okay. A fire at an ExxonMobil oil refinery in Texas left several people injured Thursday morning after what officials and local residents suggested may have been an explosion. At least three people were transported to hospital by air ambulance as authorities responded to the major industrial accident in Baytown, Texas. That's about 25 miles east of Houston. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. Indeed will also give you this sticky frog, which will suddenly leap and stick to the face of the perfect hire. Okay, there's no sticky frog, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers three times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip-hop, or house, country, techno, or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
As several lawmakers in Washington, D.C. claim President Biden's vaccine mandate is unconstitutional, we're going to find out. SCOTUS says they will hear oral arguments.
While the country's highest court will review President Joe Biden's nationwide vaccine or test mandate for businesses with at least 100 employees, justices will also evaluate a separate vaccine requirement for healthcare workers. The court will hear oral arguments on January 7th. In the two cases, the workplace mandate is currently in effect throughout the country, while the healthcare worker mandate is blocked in half of U.S. states. In the USA Radio Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Beijing Olympic organizers expressed regret on Thursday after the National Hockey League said it would not allow its players to compete at the Winter Games because of COVID-19. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said the postponement of 50 regular season games since the Omicron variant started to spread through teams had made participation in the Olympics no longer feasible. USA Radio News.
Taking a little bit more time with the music tonight, and what with it being Christmas and all, I don't know if there's anything we can say that'll be more important this evening than the messages that are included in the lyrics of these Christmas carols that we're sharing with you on this Christmas night, 2021.
That's your Anglo-Celtic heritage, folks, and the what we are hearing, things like these religious songs and also hymn or Christmas songs like the Holly and the Ivy. You need to acquaint your children with those excellent examples, artifacts of Western civilization.
More first-time guests we had this year. We were talking about them. Of course, Patrick Dean O'Ryan appeared for the first time in late 2020. He's been another one that we've enjoyed working with more. Former DEA agent Larry Ray Harden, and that's another thing that I'm proud about TPC. We present the message in such a way where you can get guests that had... and they're comfortable appearing that have these mainstream positions. Former DEA agent. Of course, Neil Kumar was with us this year, now running for U.S. Congress out of Arkansas. J.F. Gariepi, I think we had, the most well-informed hour talking about the issue of COVID that I've heard presented. And it wasn't because of me. J.F. Gariepi came in and just really, that was a memorable show. Glenn Allen, obviously Trey Garrison making first-time appearances this year. Warren Balog and his father, Allen, last week. Really nice to be able to continue to identify people who are doing incredible work and introduce them to you through this show. First-time guest. Now, we've had a lot of special shows as well this year. Of course, when you look at the calendar, we've gotten into a nice rhythm of things that we do annually now, and that includes the Valentine's Day show, where we talk about family and relationships. Obviously, that's an important topic. You have to mate up. You have to have children in order to continue our people. So we have the ladies on a ladies' night every February now with Valentine's Day. Our March Around the World series, this has become my favorite time of the year on TPC. And we had the opportunity to talk with people in March. Each of our guests the last couple of years, and we'll continue to do this, are leaders of other European nations. And when I say leaders, I do mean leaders, people like sitting member of parliament in Belgium, Philip de Winter, who's been a longtime friend. He was on with us this year, former member of parliament, Nick Griffin. I mean, these are people... and we have other members of parliaments that are friends of ours and that we'll continue to interview in our 2022 installment of that. But not just elected officials, but also, of course, barristers like Adrian Davis, Christian leaders like Reverend Jim Dawson, and In Scotland, Adrian Davis from the UK, Dr. Tom Sunak, former diplomat out of Croatia, obviously people like Paul Fromm, one of Canada's leading lights and activists. This has just become a very enjoyable time of year as we check the pulse and the health of our people around the world.
You know, it's really amazing that people that hold ideas like us are also holding high office in Europe. I guess it's a compliment to the parliamentary system that most of these nations have, that people don't have to homogenize themselves in order to have a political future in Europe. They may not be in charge, but their voices will be heard in ways that our voices aren't heard in America.
Well, that's right, and we will continue to check in with our friends across the pond and in Australia. That was another one, of course, Professor Andrew Fraser in Australia. We do go all around the world, and it's great to have those contacts. Confederate History Month, I mean, again.
We're still waiting for a contact from Antarctica. If there's anyone there that wants to volunteer to be our man in Havana in Antarctica, give us a call.
Confederate History Month, something we've done since the very inception of this show. This year was no exception, nor will it ever be. Dissident Mama, Rebecca Dillingham, Gene Andrews, Dr. Michael Hill, Kirk Lyons played a role in our presentation this year. Obviously, this summer, Eddie the Bombardier Miller made possible for us to have an entire show interviewing survivors of the USS Liberty. That was a very important one. We were on the road in South Carolina, a great show there with great people. If you missed that show back in July, my God, what they're doing out there is just incredible. And we also had, of course, some touching moments as well, losing good friends like Bill Regnery. But that was a fantastic show we did that night, if I say so myself. Sam Dixon was on with me for an hour. Sam Dixon was a close personal friend of Bill's. And we brought on Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald as well. And that actually led me to sort of see, I was thinking about this concept where we would bring on some of our mainstay guests, and rather than us interview them individually, we would allow them the opportunity to speak with one another. And we did that show, and it was further developed when we were at the League of the South National Conference in September. And I developed it a little further by pairing Sam Dixon and Brad Griffin together for a segment, and then David Duke and Michael Hill for a segment, and just sort of let them talk and question and conversate with one another without my input. And I will tell you, for me, I enjoyed listening to that. So if you enjoy listening to us as much as I enjoyed listening to them, it was just a real treat. And I think we're going to develop that a little bit further in 2022, sort of have these tandem team-ups where we pair a couple of regular guests with one another and let them sort of take advantage of the airtime to let the chips
fall where they may.
That's right. Well, we talked about some of the political trends that happened. Continuing with behind the scenes from TPC, had the opportunity to go to the Nathan Bedford Forrest reinterment. We had the chance to talk about that on the air. Our 17th anniversary show, that was very special. We had good friends like Lana Lochtef and Henrik Palmgren, who helped us share 17 years on the radio with other people. That was a show during which we featured a number of people, including old friends like Jim Lancia, former retired police officer Jim Lancia. We have got contact with a lot of good people who are doing great work, and it's an honor to be able to present them to you on this program. Obviously, we rounded out the year with coverage of the show trials in November, and then that led us into December with all of this wonderful music and the things that we're doing. And we look forward to, we always want to improve. We always want to make the show better in the year to come than it was in the previous year. And we'll continue to find hopefully new and exciting ways and innovative ways to do that, to share with you these stories and make available to you these guests as we talk about these topics and again, continue to serve as the voice of record for our people that we have been for longer than anyone, 2004.
Well, I remember that in-depth interview we had with the guest on COVID. And, you know, COVID and climate change are two examples of a glaring personality defect that you find in most liberals and leftists and Democrats. And it is this. In both instances, climate change and COVID, the main problem is remaking other people in their image. They will not rest until you surrender your unique personhood and become one of their lemmings. And if you won't do that, they are increasingly willing to take harsh action against you. First Amendment be damned. That's the way that they approach this. You know, they feel like they have outgrown the First Amendment now, basically because their arguments don't hold up under debate. If they would debate us, they can't win. And they know that, so they've got to stuff a sock in the mouth of you and me and people like us. And we need to keep on talking. We need to keep on getting the message out and let the left show people just how autocratic, how authoritarian, and how anti-freedom they really are.
We have continued to receive, of course, widespread media publicity this year. Of course, I mean, when I say publicity, I mean attacks, Washington Post, and you know, all the usual suspects. I was thrilled to find, heavily cited in the book about Charlottesville, Charlottesville Untold, by the author Ann Smith. We had the opportunity to meet in South Carolina. And as much as we promote other people and use this platform to promote other people who we feel are doing good work, that has certainly been reciprocated, as there's never too many days in between appearances that yours truly or Keith Alexander makes on other people's platforms, and we will continue that cross-pollination and cross-promotion as we work together to make this a world worth living in for our people. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperform gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Thank you.
That was always one of my favorite hymns to sing in church growing up. To God be the glory. And to God be the glory, anything we've been able to do, ladies and gentlemen, has been as a result of his grace and your good humor. And we will continue until we don't. We will continue for as long as he wills it and as long as your support holds out. But I say again, we talk about these things. These aren't our accomplishments. These are accomplishments that we've been able to do as a result of God's
you know,
grace.
James, I've noticed something through the years. You've got the Southern Baptist end of the spectrum covered. I have the Episcopalian group covered. Between the two of us, we've got the Protestant waterfront covered. And we also have, I think, Christianity pretty well intertwined in you know, our zeitgeist.
Well, and, you know, and not everybody in our movement is a Christian, and we understand that, but we are, and this show is, and it will always be a part of our fabric here, especially, of course, at Christmas time. And, you know, we got Brett McAtee coming up the last hour of the last show of the year. Pastor Brett's going to be sharing with us the biblical accounting of the birth of Jesus Christ, and Brett's with us at least every Easter and Christmas, and sometimes more times in between. He's the pastor of Sure Enough Brick and Mortar Church up in Charlotte, Michigan, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that when he's on. But I want to say this very quickly. Our Christmas fundraising drive does end, of course, on December the 31st. Now, as you know, documentary filmmaker David Cole is making the complete and unedited raw interview that he conducted with Hutton Gibson, Mel Gibson's father, available exclusively to TPC fans who contribute $100 or more before December the 31st. I think this is a very unique fundraising incentive. And the DVDs have arrived. Keith Alexander's looking at them. And they're here.
Covetous eye.
On the desk. I have got them. And we will be shipping them out to donors before the end of the year. So, contributions from generous listeners that are postmarked by December the 31st will qualify for this quarter's special incentive. Now, Hutton Gibson was a friend of mine, and I enjoyed very much talking with him on the phone and on the air and listening to him talk about his life and theology and family and various other topics of interest. And he talks about all of that in this interview with David Cole as well. But not everyone shares my opinion. And in fact, Roger Friedman of Showbiz 411, one of these Hollywood gossip chatter sites, said this: "No one in their right mind should contribute to this crap. I'm so glad Hutton is dead. I don't want to hear another word from him or about him. You have to be crazy to involve yourself with this." So what do you say, TPC family? Let me know with your support. Be sure to get it postmarked before December the 31st. $100 more, you're going to get this DVD, just the raw video footage available exclusively to TPC fans and supporters. This will be, of course, included in the final documentary about Hutton Gibson's life that David Cole is working on.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about how I grew up in an Episcopalian household. You grew up in a Southern Baptist household. Hutton Gibson was a Roman Catholic. But we all share more than anyone would imagine. I was telling you about a cartoon I saw where Moses was coming down the mountain with the tablets, and there were two lawyers, one with each with a briefcase, whispering to one another, "I think these terms are non-negotiable." Well, let me tell you, that's the way we feel. We are joined with Hutton Gibson, James, and myself, in that we think that the Bible is non-negotiable. It's not a living document any more than the Constitution is. It is God's Word, and if you don't like what, for example, what he says about what the Bible says about slavery, what it says about homosexuality, things like that, take it up with St. Paul, as somebody told me one time.
Well, that's right. And getting back to, as we cap off this annual year in review, of course, you know, it's never easy. It's never easy doing this. You're under constant attack. We lost once and for all after playing about a decade and a half game of whack-a-mole. We lost once and for all our ability to process online contributions. We're blacklisted everywhere. You can only receive support if you mail it in now. And that's okay, because you haven't let us down. We've been a year now without credit card processing, and we continue to survive.
Like Old Man River, we keep rolling along, right?
So that was something that happened this year. And this was one, I mean, we mentioned this. This was something that we've mentioned a couple of times. But it's one thing to talk about it or mention it. It's just one thing to hear it. This actually kicked the year off as well back in January.
It always amazes me that every Democrat has some tie in to Martin Luther King or Bobby Kennedy or JFK or Sirhan Sirhan. You take your pick. They have a tie in to John Lewis. They may have a tie in to Bull Connor. They may have a tie in to James Edwards. I did just.
So that was Rush Limbaugh right before his death. And you know, we've taken it from all sides. We take it from all sides. But where we do have our support is with our listening audience, who is family to us. And Keith, you know, we spent.
Wasn't that interesting to know that Rush Limbaugh was listening to us? I guess that was one of his secret pleasures.
Well, he took off the mask right before he went on to the eternal reward. But I. We another thing we've done this year, of course, was just last week, our audience appreciation hour, where we read so many of these cards. And now I've got a stack equally as big. We spent the entire hour in the second hour of last week's show sharing with the audience some notes we've gotten from listeners at Christmas time just over the course of the last few days. A lot of them coming in from our peers as well. Here's a beautiful Christmas card. In fact, it's so beautiful, my wife says she's going to frame it next year and put it on our mantle. This is from Paul Fromm, who writes, "I deeply cherish our years of friendship and admire the sterling work you are doing year after year for our people." That's Paul Fromm. Remy Tremblay up in French Canada as well with a beautiful Christmas card. People like Mark and Tina in the Midwest, who have been friends of ours forever. Art Frith, here's the chief up in Michigan, retired, but will always have his fingerprints on this show. Just these beautiful Christmas cards. How about this family from San Marcos, California?
Good people everywhere.
Yes, they truly are. And here's Scott down from South Carolina, now Florida, as he's retired with, of course, support. And just Montville, New Jersey, another Christmas card there. It's just, and these cards are beautiful. I mean, here's one from a guy named the Copperhead. Now, it's not Matt the Copperhead. I wish I knew who this Copperhead from Massachusetts was, because he sends in support just about every quarter.
Your type of people,
never, yeah, for sure. But no. But without ever any attribution, we don't know his name. We don't have his mailing address. He just sends it in with a nice note every time. And
well, it's like he's in a gulag up there in Massachusetts.
Well,
so he probably has to sneak off to the mailbox at 2 a.m. to drop it off.
I get that, but I'm just saying we don't have a way to thank him unless he's listening tonight. And I wanted to take this opportunity to do it over the air. Whoever you are, we appreciate you. Here, we just mentioned Ann Wilson Smith, Keith, the book
Charlottesville. Author on Charlottesville.
Here is a picture of her beautiful children. She sent in a card, and. Who else do we have stuff here from? Canada, Malcolm up in Canada.
Not Malcolm X, but Malcolm.
Yeah, just Malcolm.
Yeah.
I say just. We're thankful for Malcolm.
Yeah.
Linda Mueller, Pat Buchanan's webmaster. Now, this goes back to my cutting of the teeth day. Linda Mueller.
Your salad days.
Of Buchanan.org, Pat Buchanan's website, still somebody we're in touch with and happy to be so. Listener here in Memphis, Carolyn, thank you so much. Kevin up in Washington State, we had the opportunity. He's getting married now, Keith.
Yeah, I know it. He called me and told me.
So this is another just a listener who has become a friend and a family member. And, you know, so many listeners share with us. We talk about this, but they share with us the ups and downs of life, as we do with you. Marriages, deaths, births, birthdays, you name it, anniversaries. We always love hearing what's going on in the lives of our listeners. Now, Bill and Ruth Ann sent in a wonderful Confederate recipe. This is a recipe for Confederate preserves, and my wife is going to try her hand at this. So thank you, our dear friends. And they sent us a book on the Confederacy at Christmas last year that is just beautiful and just fantastic.
Yeah, the Confederacy is all about preservation, right?
Dear James, well, that's right. touche. Dear James and Keith from Brett in Washington State as well, warmest wishes for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Well, folks, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll do it again. Thank you for your support and your sentiments and these beautiful cards. It is nice to have a community. You talk about developing communities and the importance of family. We've got one here, and I'm thankful for it. Keith?
Yeah, I really think that we've built a community through this radio show. That's one of the collateral benefits of it. We have followers, and tell you the truth, every one of them almost are you know, people that you'd be proud to be seen with, proud to call a friend.
Well, that's absolutely right. And again, folks, we're not going to let up. It's nice to have a time at the end of the year where we can be reflective and we can look back on some of the things we've been through together and sort of remember some of these months. And we've had a good time doing that this hour. But it's going to start fresh on New Year's night, January the 1st. We will start it all over again and hope to present to you what will become our best year ever in 2022. But first, last hour of the last show of the year, Pastor Brett McAtee going to share with us the biblical accounting of the birth of Jesus Christ next.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.